So I'll talk about the simple number theory of supersolid.
Usually I don't need it because my voice is usually a little bit long.
So I'll first give very quickly, because everybody knows in this audience knows history, PhD, Penn State University experiment. I also give a brief introduction to normal liquid, to normal solid transition. And then I'll construct the two component quantum thermodynamics. Then I will propose a deconfined solid, which is different than the conventional solid, transition to a global phase diagram. And then, of course, I will talk about the deconfined solid with the supersolid transition. And then I will discuss PSU's experiment, especially focus on hidden three impurity. And I propose a concept called the order from quantity disorder. Then finally, I'll also talk about the excitation in a supersolid, the supersolid vortex. So, of course, so far I really benefited a lot of discussion. I thank the two organizers for giving me this chance. And I also have a proposal. From now on, any series, if they finish the talk plus all the questions within 1 hour, then get a $10 award.
I mean, you're offering a prize.
Today,
I'm sure I will get this $10. Because I already put the $10 in my pocket.
Okay, so a supersolid, of course, is a state which has both off-diagonal orange order and the crystalline order. So there are many early pioneering work. And then, of course, recent experiment is Penn State, and I don't want to go through many things, but then we just focus on the hidden three impurities in this range. They found a very unusual effect, is decrease the superfluid extraction, but raise the transition temperature. And then, a few days ago, I learned the Goodkind's experiment. They also found the impurity plays a very important role in the acoustic wave attenuation and heat wave measurement. And of course, similar things happening in solid hydrogen.
Of course, I wanted this $10, but I also need a lot of questions. Okay, so that's the experiment phase diagram.
Who gets the $10 if we
win? You will get from DJ Gross.
If it goes over 1 hour, then you have to lose $10. So for every minute over 1 hour, you have $10.
Okay, I need to be quick. I don't want to pay you.
For everybody, you
give
$10
to everybody. Oh, that's very tough. Okay, let me put more pressure on you. Okay. So, of course, let me review the normal liquid solid transition. So any solid has a density of rate, has a periodic potential, and of course, for superfluid has a complex water planning. So the only thing I want to stress, this relation between this is very complicated, because in the effective field theory, they could be treated as independent variable. At this point, will come a little bit clear later on. So if it's a actually, liquid solid transition, even classically, was not well understood. But at least the mean field theory, if it's weakly first order, we have this expansion in terms of the density operator. There's a cubic term. So normal liquid solid transition is the first order. However, of course, there is also liquid to superfluid transition described by the complex water parameter. So there are two completely different sectors, break different symmetry. So this sector breaks translational symmetry. This sector breaks internal global U1 symmetry. So the coupling becomes very simple because they usually, there's two completely different symmetry, can only be modular square. So yesterday, Professor Alan Dorsey gave a very nice talk about this coupling. He focused on the fluctuation of complex order parameter, how it affects the lattice properties, for example, sound velocity. But today, I mainly focus on what happened within Psi. Within Psi, there are many interesting stories happening even inside the Psi. But this sector is always there. But they're coupling, at least, this coupling to Psi is very simple. It's just a mass term.
So just in order to get my $10 from there, why would Psi itself should also be periodic? all the parameters are all diagonal.
Yeah.
The eigenfunction, all the diagonal result of the density matrix, and which is has to be the epsilon itself has to be periodic.
Yeah, that's definitely happening in the solid side. In superfluid, I will talk about that very soon.
I mean, epsilon in the super solid has to be periodic.
Exactly, but let me get to that. In the superfluid,
it don't have to be.
Right now, it's in superfluid. In the solid, then something happened. Exactly what you say. So this transition is well understood. At least the physical picture we know. Normally, create to normal solid, just that cubic interaction, because here, precise is not very important. The remnants of superfluid is very small. We integrate it out because it has a gap. So we can recover this transition. This transition is also well understood. Normally created superfluid transition, because there is no translational symmetry breaking, it becomes very simple. So we get this. But now the question is, I believe superfluid starts at the pressure, what will happen? Can we get a super solid which has both diagonal order and off diagonal order with non-classical rotation initial? So I put a question mark. And we actually, that's today's focus. I try to understand what happened along this line. Because all these are well understood.
So you claim even the diagonal order is suspect?
The diagonal order?
Even the crystalline order is suspected.
It's suspect.
The suspect, you're saying?
Yeah, I found some strange, very exotic diagonal order. Even, that's my later on, I found even in solid, there's some density wave order imposed on the conventional order. So that's what Jason said, even psi will become periodic inside this part, the question. So let me get that earlier, later then you ask questions.
Okay.
Yeah, like what we
give.
Yeah. Getting $10 is not easy. Looks. Anyway, I already have $10 in my pocket. Okay.
You don't get all.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Answer your question a little bit better when I finish several transparency. Now, so the focus is on that arrow. From the superfluid side to solid side. So let me construct the two components of quantum Gibbs-Fernandez theory. So I focus on the precise sector. So the starting point is two things. There's a rotor minimum on the superfluid state. So that's well known. And also, as we approach to the solid side, when adding pressure, the rotor minimum gets deeper and deeper.
That's not true. It's certainly not true that it has strong experimental support. Even going up to 100 bars, you still have the gap is still non-zero.
Oh, the rotor disappeared. No.
Phase.
No. The rotor is simply disappeared. In the rotor minimum, you cannot talk about the rotor minimum as soon as you got solid. In the first order transition.
You can make a metastable liquid and you can go way up there in the superfluid liquid phase and still have the rotons.
Okay.
Put about this in the first order transition.
It's the first order transition. Rotor minimum don't have to be zero.
It's up to 160.
Because the Allen pointed out.
Anyway, it's certainly not true that it has experimental support.
But the instability, is pretty convincing, if you look at this, especially recent work, okay. Allen told me.
It's just a theory paper.
The instability is due to rotor minimum collapsing. Okay, let me get to this point very soon, because they're, if approach this side, they're related. Why is the structure transition? The structure factor and the rotor minimum, they're connected. The structure peak is related to rotor minimum. So that's a 5 months work.
Yeah, that's just a bound, though. So.
Okay, I keep this question. We can get more private discussion. Okay. So let me base on this fact. So what I mean is, rotor minimum don't have to be collapsing, but the first order transition instability is due to rotor minimum.
Well, rotor minimum does get smaller.
Get smaller as you add the pressure.
Become more. That is true. The periodic doesn't. necessarily good. Yeah. Water and shallow, that is true.
That's
right. So yesterday, Alan told me, I looked at this paper, Norden certainly had the same point of view, but somehow he's a different focus. He proposed some strange thing called Bose-Lippi, which I don't believe, but he also proposed...
Bose-Lippi is not a strange thing.
Okay. So now, let me try... Okay, I leave this as a debate, okay? So suppose this is correct, and then we have superfluid water planet, and also density wave water planet. So I will. So of course the superfluid water planet is the primary water planet. Density wave is Poisson square. That's the secondary water planet. So this law is different than.
I'm sorry. So just previous slide.
Yeah.
As you said, psi square is not the density.
Yeah, that N is the density. Rho is the density wave water parameter. They're different, the water parameter. They're different. I will explain this point definitely when I get to the final global phase diagram. They're different, okay? Rho is just the definition. By definition, rho equal to psi square. But N and the psi, the relation in the scaling limit effective theory becomes complicated. Okay, so if this way, then we find a new kind of quantum solid, which was, not only has the rotation and the translation order, but also has a quantum phase order by Poisson. Okay, so now let me construct this two-component Ginzburg-Landau theory. So usually we just forget about these two terms, we get XY model transition. But I need to look at these two terms because of the rotor minimum. So because of long range pair, you know. If it's a hardcore potential, you don't get the rotor minimum. But you need the long-range part to get this rotor minimum. So in fact, I need this gradient pi order term, which usually, you use a critical phenomenon which are irrelevant. But if you have rotor minimum, that's quite important. So this one is negative, this one is positive for stability. So I get this propagate, which I usually need to clear fourth and sixth term. So if we have a symmetry breaking, we get the rotor minimum. So what I mean by two component is I only have one complex water parameter. But based on the assumption, the rotor also needs to instability to the super to the solid as we add the pressure. So I have to keep this sector. If you forget about this sector, we just recover conventional XY model. But now if I also need to focus on this sector, then I need to separate the into two modes. Just the integration is one is focused on near k equal to zero. So that's what we talk about phonon excitation. And another we focus on near the rotor. So that's the rotor part. So I call it Poisson 1 and Poisson 2 near the rotor wave vector. So there are one complex field but two length scale. So that's what I mean by two components.
So
and
let me see if I understand.
Yeah.
So are you saying that actually for all the parameters actually the two parts, one is k equals zero, the other is k equals to g.
Kr, rotor on surface. Rotor on surface. Yeah. Actually rotor on surface actually turns out to be
okay, so one thing is if it's merely that psi of x has a component g, then, you know, in usual Landau-Ginzburg, what we do is we expand the gradient terms at your gradient about that g, not about zero. But you are expanding gradient about zero. So is it because that there is actually a two component all the parameter, one with k equal to zero and one with k equal to g?
The k equal to kr. Kr is not g yet. Your superfluid is... The rotor minimum happened at Kr. Turns out Kr is 1 over the lattice constant. Turns out. That's because that points to where the solid formation is due to rotor minimum, rotor instability. Kr is at the order of 1 over A. 1 over the lattice constant. It's 1 over 3 angstrom. The point here is we need to keep Poisson 1 and Poisson 2. Poisson 1 has low energy near k equal to 0. But Poisson 2 has a gap, of course, rotor gap. But there's also a rotor surface. These two guys, of course,
because it comes from one complex field. That's the coupling. Naturally, the coupling is false. So of course, what I want to say, this is precisely really not directly related to the annihilation operator. They're related, but not in a very obvious way related to the helium 4 annihilation operator. Helium 4 is a strongly interacting system. You know, so if you start from there, you don't know how to do perturbation theory. But now if lambda quantum particle is weakly interacting, so this guy actually, if you break symmetry, you need to lambda quantum particle, which are weakly interacting. So this U is actually the weakly interacting, we think is a weakly interacting theory. So we are able to do some perturbative argument. So starting from lambda quantum particle, not from the original Bayer helium 4 operator. So of course this has one, because only one complex field has one global symmetry. And then this is a two derivative term. So we have this particle hole symmetry. So I believe right now I do not have vacancy because of particle hole symmetry.
Can you explain particle hole symmetry again, please?
Particle hole symmetry just per se goes to per se star.
Oh, that's what you mean. Okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So now, so let me try to understand the superfluid to that arrow. From superfluid side, we add pressure. What will happen? So of course, in superfluid, this rotor also has always has a gap. But T is more than zero, so we get a symmetry breaking in cosine 1. So that's what we have BEC. Of course, breaks U1 symmetry. And in this case, if we break U1 symmetry, cosine 2 is nice to decompose in the real and then real part, and then both percent 1 percent 2 are complex. Okay, so of course real part and then imaginary part, it turns out because of the symmetry breaking, real part is more massive. So percent integrated out real part, we get a d plus 1 d quantum Lipschitz action. So this action is well known. Yeah.
Does the consideration that Ellen Dorsey talked about yesterday apply to this model?
Yeah, certainly.
It's in the universality class of the same as BEC?
No. I will definitely talk about the Alan Dorsey talk about 3DXY model from solid to, he talked about from solid to super solid. I will talk about very soon. Right now I'm going to talk about the super fluid to solid. This is the first order transition. He is talking about solid to super solid. But I will certainly talk about that part very soon. But now I'm talking about superfluid to normal solid, which is
well,
a quantum.
Here the phase bound in the two theories should be similar. I think the difference is that your superfluid all the parameter uniform one it seems to be, and then your superfluid all the parameter is actually a superposition of two density waves.
Exactly. So what my precise one is what in my opinion. Okay, I should talk with that. Psi 1 is what is Psi. I have the extra player is Psi 2. Everything else are the same as Adam. So I have an extra player is this rotor minimum. Also lattice part is always there. I don't focus on complex order parameter, how it affects the lattice part affect the phonon, sound velocity. So that's certainly I agree. But I majorly focus on what happened, the major role played by Psi 2. So here, this action is well known in classical liquid crystal transition, in the Lipschitz action. So, the minimum is not at k equal to 0, but in a rotor surface.
What do you mean by phi 1 is more massive than phi 2? The gap is larger, substantially larger, or
well, can you say it again?
You said the phi 1 is more massive than phi 2.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more.
Even the gap is large, much larger.
Yeah, gap is larger. So
larger or whatever.
Yeah, it's larger by finite, gap. So the only thing I think is that maybe phi 2 becomes unstable first.
Okay, but that's due to the choice of psi 1 equals to a.
Yeah.
Psi 1 is real, right?
Yeah.
So,
but it's not going to change any. It's just the choice. Yes. But
so,
the
so once you break the. U1 gauge symmetry of the psi 1 that also breaks the U1 gauge symmetry
exactly.
of the psi 2.
Exactly.
kind of worried, because there's only one U1 symmetry, there's only one super free mode, you have two super free components. So there must be covers drawn in, you only have one.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly makes the story interesting, because they're coupled, only one U1 symmetry.
Another one we got, so by the end of the day,
there's
only one important.
We will get to that. Okay. Okay. So
once you order the uniform superfluid parameter to be real,
yeah.
And the other one wants to be imaginary.
Yeah.
Want to be purely imaginary. So
yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. If you put okay. one real
so five. Pi over 2 hour phase of each other. Is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. But so now, suppose the rotor minimum will reach the solid side, then we can see, you know, in the superfluid side, because the gap is one, the gap is large, is zero, per two, there's no condensation, because per side two, there's no condensation. So, because they have the larger gap of the rotor. Then, in the solid side, I'm assuming. Okay, precise two condense, and with the wave vector near the rotor surface, so we get the density wave phase. And then, of course, this transition is if you use the Shankar's approach for fermion applied to this rotor surface, then you get a first order transition, which is of course this first order was first realized by Rovinsky. Yeah. Okay, then, so in this case we get a density wave order. Density wave order, we always have this density part, okay? I have this density part, it's not equal to zero. Both sides we have density part. And then use a confined solid. From the liquid part, there's no condensation per side. But here we have a density wave, which is commensurate with the underlying lattice. So that's the difference between a normal solid and the density wave.
The origin of the psi is the rotor minimum. Now the rotor minimum is specified by a particular k vector.
Yeah.
And this psi 2 is supposed to be a slowly varying field on top of this ui, this rotor's density wave, which is fixed by density wave already. Now what you then
What about this? Let me go to next. When I talk about, if I talk about the normal solid to super solid transition, every question, if I ask question there, would be easily to answer. So I know what you mean. So this density wave is at the rotor minimum. Okay.
Right. So it's already locked in
the
KR. So that's why I'm confused by what you're saying.
I know what you are confusing. If I go to next transparency.
Okay. I will wait.
Okay, yeah. So, what I mean is, of course, we understood this. Here, we just say the first order transition. Okay, the first order transition is described by quantum Lipschitz action. I didn't answer this yet. I just know it's the first order transition. And then I know this state, I call this state has a density wave superimposed on user normal solid. And of course, if I approach this side, the instability is due to k equal to zero. Okay. If you were from superfluid to normal liquid, the instability is due to k equal to zero, open a gap. If now I add the pressure, if the instability is still due to k equal to zero, you have no chance to get the super solid. Forget about it. Because you open a gap, that's it. You get the normal solid. But now, what gives us hope is the instability is not at k equal to zero, but it's at k equal to kr. So that's the hope. I think the point is the instability this side and this side are different. One is due to k to zero, another is due to k equal to kr. So, but if k equal to kr has instability, will it kill the mode at k to zero or not? As Wilson said, they're coupled. Indeed, they're coupled. That's the question I would like to address. But certainly, it gives us the hope we can get the super solid. Do I make my point here? If this instability is the same, you have no chance.
Instability is what? Same as what?
As a superfluid to normal liquid. If superfluids normal liquid, what happens is forget about those.
Right.
They don't do anything. It's capable to this open like that.
Yeah.
So we get the normal liquid. So what my point is,
every time you go up, you see the photons. Suddenly, it used to be at zero.
Yeah. Of course, David may have his field. We can talk about that. But that's the point. So I feel that's, you know, photon give us a chance, you know, to the instability. So, but it may also affect this guy. That's what I'm going to invest. You must get your next few transparency. Then I can answer your question.
Sorry, but you said actually from SF to NL, the K zero mode will open a gap. For what kind of excitation will have a gap?
That's what I'm going to do. If they open the gaps, we don't get the super solid. If it remains gap, we get the long classical rotation initial. We get the super solid.
But in a longer period, there's no gap, it's just like three excitations.
Now, why don't I just finish the next few transparency? We can see what happened. So what happens near here when this guy condenses? Okay, now, so we can look at Psi 2 is condensed around the roton surface. Okay, this condensation is around the roton surface. Then we want to plug it in, especially look at the interaction, Psi 1 and Psi 2, look at how it affects the low energy modes at the K equal to zero. If they open the gap, forget about it, you don't get the super solid. But if the gap, if it remains gapless, we get the long classical rotation initial. So that's what I'm going to look at. Of course, P is a roton surface. So my point is, P can, let me try P equal to 1, all kinds of cases. But there's a constraint from the experiment, is the lattice is HCP lattice. But for general, let me look at the different cases, and then look at what happens to Psi 1 at K equal to 0.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
P is
the number of lattice point, you know, around the roton surface. Roton is 2.
I see, okay.
P equal to 1, to 2, 1 is trivial. 2, 3, I get the different lattices. Okay.
In case space.
Why would you have 2?
No, in real space.
K
is in real space, but the density is x here.
No, because your Qm is in K space.
Yeah. Qm is the same magnitude around the roton surface. What's your question, David?
Why would you study all those cases? Why wouldn't you just study the HCP case?
Oh, yeah, because I want to apply this to bilayer quantum Hall effect. Because I know bilayer quantum Hall effect also has an exotonic super solid. I want it to be more general. And then So my point, let me get to my point. So let me take P equal to 2, then jump to HCP lattice. P equal to give you physics. P equal to 2, then I get these two opposite nodes. So I got this local density wave. Is, of course, I have one-dimensional lattice. That's not real, okay? But let me treat as an academic exercise. It is simpler to explain physics. So I got the Schindler lambda, I can describe. Let density A have A and B transition. So because the Psi 2 is already fixed, we look at the Psi 1, so there are couplings between it. We expand that quartic coupling. Of course, there are many couplings. The coupling can be infinite number of orders. So now we can see a transition from density wave A and density wave B. And the density wave B is, we do have condensation at K equal to zero, but now no non-classical rotation initial. I will explain this with, let me finish two transparency, get to the punchline, then we can discuss. Okay, so I couldn't see this or the diagonal. So we can see that the diagonal turn, there's always the largest part. Okay, the largest part always comes to diagonal turn. That part because that part of the coupling is just diagonal part. So the diagonal shifts down the critical temperature, we can see. It shifts down a little bit. And then unfortunately there's an off-diagonal turn. The coupling is off-diagonal turn. This off-diagonal I call the unclipped turn, which breaks the global symmetry. Because there's only one U1 symmetry. That's understandable. If you break the global symmetry, there's only one U1 symmetry, Psi 1 don't have this symmetry anymore. Therefore, there's no chance to get a superfluid component. Of course, from the symmetry, you can have all kinds of infinite number of terms from the symmetry. And then we get the transition from density wave A to density wave B is the Eastern universality class. Of course, the details has a tetracritical point, bicritical point. I don't want to go to details. And unfortunately, in this case, there's no Gaussian sum of the k equal to 0. Even you have BC, one classical rotation, there's no one classical rotation. So we don't get a super solid.
So this is the case where you have condensation but
no non-classical rotation initial.
Condensation, what phase is the condensation, what are you losing up there?
Uh-huh.
Condensation, what mode it condenses? Do you have psi?
I have psi 2.
You have psi 2. Oh, you have psi 2.
Psi 2.
But you have a roton condensation.
Yeah, yeah.
But not the k equals 0 condensation.
There is a transition. Even psi, there is a transition. Psi 1 no condensation. 2 psi 1 has a condensation.
So what kind of a super fluid is that? Suppose
like a strike phase in 2 dimensions.
I don't. No. This is artificial, but it's 2 nodes. Actual case is HCP lattice. Right. This is just.
If you were 2 dimensions, as an example.
Oh, that's a good strike. Exactly. The 1 dimension embedded in 3 dimension, or 1 dimensional lattice embedded in 2 dimension. So, unfortunately, we don't get a super solid. Of course, for p equal to 3, you get a hexagonal lattice, 2 dimensional hexagonal lattice. And you then you get a cube because of the symmetry. The at the 0. Anyway, what is going to have to add equal to 0? Because the lattice is static. So in this case, you don't get a super solid either. Now let me get to the punchline. Then we can accept the questions. So I don't want to go through what is P. P equal to 3 actually is quite important for quantum Hall effect, because that's a 2-dimensional system. So I talk about the p equal to 2 and then 3, right? So forget about all this, you know, linear wave. I don't want to explain this. But there is a density wave A to density wave B transition with the Eastern class for triangular hexagonal lattice, the cubic term, that's just first order. Now let's look at the BCC and the HCP, which are 2 most relevant lattice. And in this case, you can do the Feynman analysis as a p equal to 2. I got all this term. But now the power is very high. 4 terms for BCC lattice. And power 6 for HCP lattice. Somehow, no matter how hard I try, I cannot get the FCC lattice from this roton condensation. But I realized that all this guy has nothing to do with the FCC lattice. So I gave up.
Oh, so you already assume the crystalline order, you
blocked
the particular lattice already.
Yeah. The density wave must be commensurate with the underlying lattice.
Yeah.
That's the lowest energy state.
Well, you probably know since you do this, you just take that theory itself, like also do the Gibbs Redondo on the crystal side, the most robust phase is the FCC.
If I just do the theory for
the crystal.
Yeah.
The FCC has most triangles in quadrilateral.
No, you are talking about the BCC. BCC. Yeah, I know BCC.
Yeah.
I know that. Got the BCC, and then there's one point here.
Is that
you know the roton wave vector has to be the same length, roton wave vector, but the k because of the law don't have to be the same length. That's why I'm able to get the HCP lattice. You know, when you talk about the classical liquid solid transition, they're very difficult to get HCP.
Yes, exactly.
Because there are different, but here it becomes very natural. Because even roton has Q has the same K, but the rule, cosine square could have a different length. That's why I'm able to get HCP lattice. I get P equal to 6, I can recover. And I get 6, that's due to hexagonal symmetry. So here we can find it very close to a super solid. So we found, because of all this weak U1 symmetry, essentially clears the Gaussian sum mode at k equal to 0. The conclusion is, for perfect lattice, no chance to get a super solid. But BCC and the HCP are quite close. As you can see, this power 4, power 6, So the transition is 3dx what? So
can you explain how do I see from clean? We went back too fast for me.
Let me explain this. You know, just focus on this matrix. Yeah. These two couplings, they are near 3dx model. They are dangerously irrelevant. They are irrelevant near the critical point. But somehow, if you go to low temperature, it grows up. Then they destroy Gauss domes. So that's called the dangerous irrelevant because of this power 4, power 6. So we know this from critical phenomena. Is that right?
It's a term just like cubic anisotropy or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it has nothing to do with relevant versus irrelevant.
No, it is dangerous. It's called dangerous irrelevant. That's a terminology.
No.
That's a frame.
That
that's
doesn't matter.
Okay.
But can you again come back to, so how do you conclude that any clean
lattice
has no
solid solid? Yeah, from here is, you know, because of all this coupling, after you load on condense, oh, actually I really need to explain one thing. You know, the Zoltan dispersion relationship related to structure factor like this, due to Feynman.
So less
than.
What? Less than or equal to, not equal to.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I need to look at that in quantity. So you say the transition approach from this side, the structure factor get a peak, at the same time the Zoltan get a minimum. So they happen at the same time. You know, the density part get the HCP lattice, the Zoltan part collapse. So that's why they are related.
They happen at the same time.
There's no two transition because of this relation. Let me see. So because of this coupling, they will destroy Gauss domes at k equal to 0. No Gauss domes, no non-classical rotation initial. That goes to this conclusion. But BC and the HCP are quite close.
I still don't understand. If it gets too difficult, then I can not ask you later.
Yeah.
Let me ask one more time. So the fact that there's no class, you're saying that for clean lattice, then you can show that there's no Gauss domes, and that's why.
Yeah, no non-classical rotation initial. There's no, they open the gap. Non-classical rotation initial means finite superfluid stiffness. Means you have a Gauss domes. A Gauss domes at k equal to 0. Non-classical rotation initial is different than BEC. You know, these two concepts.
So for clean lattice, you don't have Gauss domes here.
Yeah. Yeah, non-classical rotation initial. Okay, so now BCCHCP is close because this coupling is power 4 to 6. This is simply very low, so they kill the XY transition immediately. But here, we still have 3DXY, but somehow it's dangerous because it's dangerously irrelevant. So now, so let me hear this diagram is for clean system, from superfluid side, I would like to get this two phase. Of course, there's always underlying lattice, the low sector. What Alan talk about is this, they focus on G sector. N sector is always here, should be not equal to zero. Yeah. I got the density wave A, no Zoltan condensation, but no Poisson 1 condensation. Density wave B, I got Poisson 1 condensation, but non-classical rotation initial equal to zero. So that's the phase diagram, due to Zoltan minimum condensation. So now, let me discussion. You have a question? So in this side is normal solid. So I would like to say in this side we still get some remnants of superfluid. Still get some remnants of superfluid.
My question is, if it's in the 3DXY model then.
Yeah.
The fact that there is nothing in the Pacific heat rules out this, right?
No. Then I come to one transparency. You look at the energy scale, length scale. In principle, if you don't get specific, you can rule out this theory. But I can give you another argument very later on to estimate the critical region. So there is a 3dxy transition from here, but somehow the Gauss domes was destroyed due to the dangerous irrelevant operator. So for clean case, but we got quite close because we have a 3dxy transition. And then when you get close, impurity can push us even closer. So let me discuss PSU's experiment. So of course, HCP lattice, this ratio, anyway, that dangerous relation has nothing to do with ratio, independent of this ratio. So HCP life is quite close, but don't get super solid. However, the U1 symmetry breaking term, we find this term, this dangerous term. What this term needs a perfect lattice.
The higher temperature there is data on C to A.
On high temperature on which phase? One phase wave A? There's no, they don't go to high temperature. Each of the high energy becomes a normal solid. But unfortunately, I don't understand this transition very well. I put a dashed line here. This normal solid could go to very high temperature. That's classical normal liquid normal solid transition. This phase only happens at low temperature. High pressure, it could.
So you would predict a distortion of a lattice?
No, I need the impurity to distort it. I cannot distort it. So the impurity, then we can see, because this term is need a perfect lattice lesson. If you look at the argument, because the psi 2, 4 psi 2 has to scatter to k equal to 0 in the phase space in order to couple to psi 1. So you need a perfect lattice, this coupling.
Listen.
Yeah.
You keep saying, but you, all the lattices you consider are perfect lattices, right?
Yeah. But right now is a perfect lattice, so step by step. I here so far is a perfect lattice.
I try to understand that when you say a clean limit, you mean you include the case with the defect, right?
No defect. So far, no defect. So far, it's no defect. No impurities, no dislocations, nothing.
No dislocation, like vacuums.
Vacancies, I don't see.
You're talking about perfect lattice.
Yeah, I talk about perfect lattice. Yeah, no.
You
can have particle hole VIP. Vacancy interstitial pair. Very important person I can have. VIP.
So
I can have, definitely.
Basically, you are saying the commercial of the case, right?
Yes, you don't talk about concentration, but I don't think in the theory there's any way you can tell if the vacancy is around.
Yeah, that point, let me go to the last transparency, I'll answer vacancy problem. Okay, so now I go to clean lattice. So this phase is essentially a density wave, you know, superimposed on the lattice. With psi 2, I have an underlying lattice. So that phase, solid has a quantum phase order. So let me discuss the experiment. Then, you want to get rid of the dangerous irrelevant term, we have two ways. Either distort the lattice, make it a string, in a string. And then we'll add in the hidden string impurity to distort that very effectively. But the US.
Data on that, too.
Data
has a lot of data on that.
Which one? Number two?
Number two, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, two more transparency, I will discuss why, how many concentration we need to distort the lattice. But so far, you may say hidden string, PPN, who cares? But I would like to say PPN is good enough. I will compare with length scale. Okay. Very effective. I will show this quantitatively in two more transparency. But let me make this claim first. Okay, if the distorted lattice, that coupling off diagonal term is very sensitive.
When you add helium 3 to impurities, they're not quenched disorder. The helium 3 is moving around, right?
It may move by
the same symmetry.
I don't think helium 3 move that fast, as fast as VIP. Vacancy in the tissue pair, there are dynamic fluctuations. Helium 3 is big. They distort the lattice. So if but the diagonal turn is always there, because diagonal don't need fine tuning. The off diagonal turn need fine tuning. The diagonal turn does not need fine tuning. So that way we introduce a randomized turn. Okay. We introduce a randomized turn. So fortunately for 3D XY model we know alpha is negative, as Alan used a different argument for lattice. I use it for Harris criteria for disorder.
So your impurity, the additional field that couple to the density density only, not the other parameters, not the psi.
Couple to psi 1 squared.
That's
psi 1 squared?
So because the diagonal term don't need fine tuning.
How about the psi, why wouldn't it couple the psi 2 squared? Because the inverse is also atomic size and psi 2 is atomic size.
Yeah, psi 2 is non-critical. In this case, it's a lattice already.
So you,
what the sensitivity is psi 1?
In practice, okay, you know, I just want to understand your mathematics, so you can call it psi 1 only.
Yeah.
So there is no systematic shift in scalar 3.
There is no.
Scalar 3 is a standard of empirical lattice. The other one, but it's not the Harrison one. It's not the random PC model, the random mass web. It shifts it in one way, it's a systematic shift.
You know, in terms of maybe in the lattice, that you know, when the epsilon psi 1, you just to play a randomized. That's what that means.
It's not random.
No.
You find here, that's only
possible term. Psi 2, the lattice, if your density wave distorted a little bit, it acts like this way. So in psi 1, it's a randomized. You know, you are talking about, focus on psi 1. The effect is psi. What?
Which one is advanced? So I
thought,
what are
the way to get? Psi 1 is like, because you come late. I saw you, you come only 10 minutes ago. Yeah.
But I read the paper.
No, that paper in a way is not complete. Why don't we have more private discussion? That's not I, because I, we have more. So that's just a few, these are randomized terms.
Fine, I'll wait in question session, but I'll ask this question again.
Okay, definitely.
You don't know that every minute,
yeah,
you paid everyone
$10. Yeah.
You have very much courage to ask questions.
Okay.
I have time with about 28 people.
And so I need to be careful. Definitely, I will answer your question, maybe more in detail in private. Okay, so, okay, from Harris criterion, randomized term is irrelevant. However, the randomized term is still superfluid. Okay, it will decrease the superfluid density. So hidden sleep plays a dual role. They kill the off-diagonal term very effectively, because the off-diagonal is very vulnerable, because that coupling very sensitive to perfect lattice symmetry. You need fine tuning. The diagonal term is very robust. So the hidden 3 clears the off-diagonal term, but introduces a randomized term. That does not change 3D XY universal class, but it decreases the superfluid density. So, of course, specifically heat should show this lambda peak, but I will come back to that point. So I call this phenomenon called Auto-Planck quantity disorder. So originally it was one U1 symmetry, but due to quantity disorder, we have two U1 symmetry. But this car was broken already. So we have U1 at precise one sector.
Okay, let me understand the logic.
Yeah.
The logic is, I suppose in a perfect lattice, I have this quadrilateral, whatnot, and then that it produces a gap for you. So basically, you need to destroy that thing.
That destroys the off diagonal term.
Those
cubic
term,
fourth term,
or six. The strings.
Yeah,
right. This term is enough to balance that term. So therefore, that's how you estimate the critical.
It's very similar. Yeah, definitely.
But then I
go to next transparency? I'm estimating the range. Yeah, definitely. You already go beyond that. Okay. So I definitely estimated that critical range. What kind of imputed concentration we need? But so far, let me make it clear and then see what's the imputed concentration we need to get rid of the off diagonal term. Of course, this is for PBB and the PBN. Of course, even here I get a corollary. For hidden 3 solid, I think that instability is really due to 8k to 0. It's not due to rotor minimum. So hidden 3 solid, in my theory, there's no chance to get a super solid. Hidden 3 solid. Why are you laughing?
I'm sorry. Never mind.
You have some comment on hidden 3 solid?
not this conference.
Oh, okay, because you want to save me some money. Okay.
But if you want to keep the comment on that, please do.
Helium 3 solid is not like a helium 4, because we know there's no rotor minimum in superfluid helium 3.
But if you're gonna have super solid helium 3, you're gonna have the pair of helium 3, so I don't think any of the considerations you're talking here.
Yeah, that's a pair of superfluid. Yeah, definitely. So now with helium 3, change the diagram a little bit. the phase diagram. Of course, other phases are not really sensitive at all to this tiny impurity. But this phase is very sensitive. So, of course, I also applied to Bailey. Even this theory does not work for Hiller 4, I know it works for Bailey. Bailey is a microtone rotor minimum in Bailey quantum Hall effect. That's the rotor minimum collapse leads to density wave. That's definitely true.
No, but you said, well, okay. What mean you know it works? In what experiment that you have to...
Because Hartree Fock, many numerical calculations, strongly see the rotor minimum with distance to Bailey distance.
Compared to numerical experiments, that's what you mean.
Yeah.
Not that, the question is whether you have any...
Neutron scattering.
Well, for Bailey, is there anything that Jim Martin can see that you that can compare to it? And then
Because here I get a prediction with Eisenstein's experiment. Indirectly evidence. So distorted helium 4 by helium 3, then in this case, due to all the intensity disorder, I do get a super solid state with non-classical rotation initial. Okay, this phase is very sensible to impurity. Of course, I learned this just a few days ago from Good Kahn's experiment. They also found an important law of ADP of impurity for heat wave measurement. I think they're connected. Okay, I think. So let me, what time? Okay. Because I'm going to win, looks like. Okay, I want to keep this. So I just want in super solid side, I want to, I look like it's okay. I'm in the limit. So in the super solid side, I have plus one, plus two, plus one, superfluid cake to these, I have B, C, non-classical rotation initial. Of course, plus two is the density, density wave, and there's a transfer term that causes a local transfer rate between superfluid component and density wave. You know, so now let me look at the super solid vortex. So that's the, I want to come to the estimate of the impurity. How much impurity concentration do we need? So of course in superfluid we know the vortex excitation proportion to superfluid density log of superfluid vortex core size, i the system size. And then of course we know core size, superfluid core size is the lattice constant. So we get in super solid, of course. So this way I describe with Jason. Jason says that the Lorentz excitation is a vortex loop. But in my opinion, if you rotate like this because of the axial symmetry, it's a sphere vortex.
Line?
It's a vortex line. It's a vortex line.
Okay, that's how much energy you can.
Yeah, we can look at the energy. Energy. It's a vortex line because of the symmetry. You know, the symmetrical symmetry.
The line is one straight line?
Yeah, it is.
You mean 10 to the 5 times more than the lattice spacing?
Yes.
If
you rotate.
Like 10 to the 5.
Now, if you rotate the superfluid, yeah. Well, did you get vortex line? Superfluid, if you rotate.
It did.
Yeah, super solid, you get this, it's also vortex line because of the symmetry.
Yeah, but then the question, what is the activation energy?
Yeah, we look at it. Then we look at it. So, we can see the superfluid density is very small. Okay, make the energy small.
But do you use Moses to estimate your superfluid density, or what's the number?
I use Moses because that's the only thing I can use. I cannot calculate anything. So if no choice is a good choice. So it's 10 to minus 2. However, I believe the vortex core in super solid because psi 1, as in my field theory, is a tiny region around the cake to zero. There's a cutoff.
Yes, of course.
So there's a cutoff. I focus on this. This cutoff is much smaller than the rotor sphere. Okay, this cutoff is very small. So the only energy scale is for, if you talk about the super solid, the only energy scale is 1 over lambda. So lambda is, of course, is much smaller than Kr. So Turns out this guy is much, much larger than the superfluid vortex.
1,000 times smaller, it doesn't matter.
Okay, we can...
Logarithm.
Exactly. That's why I make... That's favor my theory.
against the impurity. Why is it so vulnerable to impurity? Because this guy is so big, you see.
That's so big.
We can estimate, yeah. Compared to superfluid vortex, there are two reductions. One is superfluid density, another is core size. Core size usually don't care. Usually don't care because there's logarithmic. But now we have to care because the critical velocity superfluid is much larger, even larger than this. Okay, centimeter. But here is supposed micrometer. Here is you can see this at least 1,000 times smaller. But the superfluid is only 100 times smaller. That's only a lower limit. This is a lower limit. So from here we can get the vortex core size is 10 to the power 4 at least.
10 to the power 4 of what?
Of the superfluid vortex core.
Okay. Can you define slowly again what theta SS?
I don't understand. Theta SS is just the core size of super solid vortex.
Okay, and
so they cover a lot of lattice constant. It's like a superconductor, not really like superconductor. In high TC we know a vortex core is very fat. They cover a lot of lattice constant. Here the prediction is a super solid vortex core is a very long, it's a long wavelength theory. You know, superfluid is a global behavior of the lattice. So they cover a lot of lattice constant. That is
so, is it more energetic or less energetic?
Of course, the energy, because from here, I use Moses' data. I cannot calculate, but I can relate a different quantity. So I suppose this vortex core size is very big. Less energy, you see a less energetic. Because there are two reductions.
Yeah, but then your vortex core size is about 10,000 times the lattice spacing.
This 10 to the power 4.
So 10,000
times
of the lattice spacing. Yeah, yeah.
You say in super solid, the vortex core is huge. Okay. Cover a lot of lattice constant.
But based on what
excitation is super the vortex.
You insist that is the
excitation. Yeah, I insist.
Of course, you get it.
Yeah, this is the my opinion is the excitation.
But do you do any calculation, whatever?
Nobody believes Hartree Fock.
I mean, you can ask me, David can do a calculation, see whether the vortex core size. I mean,
That's what I did. Ginsburg-Landau theory is not that powerful to do any microscopic calculation, but I'm able to compare with the experiment and extract some phenomenological parameters. What is the phenomenological parameters? You want it to be consistent with the experiment. This is also consistent with my Ginsburg-Landau theory, because there is a small region near cake to this with a small cutoff. So it's not microscopic, so it's consistent.
What about the core energy? If you pick a large core,
this include everything. That's the energy. Include.
This is the energy due to circulating lines outside the core.
But there's a cutoff. You have to below that cutoff. That percent one doesn't make sense anymore.
Everything you did was a calculation except for this one. This you insist that this must be the energy, and then you force the core size to be 10 to the 4. Anyway, never mind. Continue.
So you have an ultraviolet cutoff has an infrared cutoff. That determines the energy of a vortex. So at 0.03 ppm, so I found the distance is 400. So only one more transparency I will store. So I found three widely separated landscape. Okay. Super solid, impurity, superfluid. Actually, so this guy impurity is sufficiently dense to eliminate the off-diagonal term, but sufficiently dilute to introduce uncorrelated random mass. The uncorrelated random mass is irrelevant for CPX1. So that's why for this ppm range, this guy is sufficiently dense to lead to super solid. Finally, I talk about the specific heat. Because the lambda peak, in principle, you should see. But the correlation is much, the critical range
the correlation is much, much larger than this large landscape, and make the critical region much narrower. So that makes the lambda peak. Of course, it would be nice to see specific heat lambda peak, but if you didn't see it, at this moment, I didn't think it's a big, huge blow, because the critical region is much narrower than normally equated to supersolid transition.
But even if it's broadened, you still have to have some sort of behavior.
No, it's not broadened. I didn't see broadened. There is many people say broadened to the impurity.
Okay, so
but here it's neither. The region is very neither. You have to get the critical region to see the lambda peak. If the critical region is extremely small.
It's just like superconductor.
Good entropy somewhere, man.
Superconductor has a very large coherence length, and the critical region is small. What do you see? You see a jump in a specific heat.
It's a cost. It's not a jump. Even in normal liquid super fluid transition.
You see the lambda transition, that's right.
It's a cost. You have to go to where?
No, but the point is that there has to be a change in this entropy. So if you don't have the cost, you
disappear in the order phase. You cannot just say that you glide lower and you didn't notice the delta function. You know, entropy has to be different in the entropy before and after, even if the peak is very sharp.
Yeah, but my point is you have to go to where.
Okay.
Let me conclude. So let me look at. So we got this. Just give me 1 second. Let me see. I was probably going to win. So 11:05. I started from 10.
I don't think so. I think you should blow your wallet.
No. Okay, I need to. That's $10. So I constructed the Ginsburg lambda theory, superfluid density wave, and the same order global phase diagram. Phase transition, perfect lattice don't have supersolid, but HCP BCs are quite close. We propose that all the Frank quantity disorder phenomenon, and then we have three important main scale. Okay, thank you very much. Should pay you $10 because 11:05.
No, I
started at 10:10.
I made you a deal.
Yeah.
You're gonna pay them $10. Just pay me $10. You're gonna pay them.
We have it on tape, so. Okay. Well, we had so many questions that since it sort of did go over, I think maybe we should have a break. Yeah. So it won't go too far into the next talk.
It's fine, thank you very much.
Yeah. Sorry, I'll just give you 10 minutes.
The modulating component.
have melted down to the freezes, so, you know, these are phase out of the ground.
But I don't understand this whole thing at all. The solid transition,
you go from
the liquid
here,
the solid transition
here, to go from here to here. I mean, it's going out,
it's
getting smaller, but then even if you go way up here,
it's not going to be here anymore.
Well, no, but you could do an experiment and have a stable liquid. So this is a liquid, still a superfluid.
Somehow,
they have still do an experiment way up
the solid is going to be driven by the side two.
Because of the
rotary transition,
the Van
Dahl wind
can
have
a metal stable
phase.
You have a metal stable, that means that it's a superfluid.
Well, you're in the line here. This line continues.
No, I mean, he's saying, it's already saying it doesn't matter.
Yeah, the doctor made more than
fact. If it increases TC, he already took that.
No,
he's just saying that it's a.
Yeah, it's stupid, but it's still about zero.
No,
and the
pathway is way up here. It's not zero.
Can you account for increasing TC in the model?
So I don't know why you say there's strong experimental evidence. What evidence is there?
Yeah, because it's a breakthrough.
No,
those are all theory papers.
Yeah, actually, I find it
more than no
vacancy. So I should look at the
no, I don't have that.
Very heavy.
You mean this superfluid may go all the way down to the bottom?
Wouldn't it be sufficient to be more than a chemical superfluid?
Yeah.
So that means we can get
A roton is a liquid concept.
So you see, you have a lemon.
Maybe it's just the way
you're
saying that because of this term, then you order You bring the E1-gauge image,
we found that the first layer does not freeze. As you say, you take the solid for the reason, 6 degrees the first layer, and 9 degrees the second layer.
No, but he was saying that
the total is 12 degrees the first layer, and then 14, everything
else. But in the cabinet,
it's like a glass of solid, except that it's very much enhanced.
One issue is, I think, but I don't know that it's true, that there was a boundary between the wall and the solid. And if there is, and if it's so extended to scale, even at 0 kilos.
Get $10 from the teacher gross. Because for what the series to finish it. I'm the first series to finish with you, Mama.
I am not even bothered to recruit with $10. I'm here to speak to
I think the micro.
No, the grain size would be different.
You are
no,
people
are
no, that's because you kept asking the same question. Ten times.
Grain bonds. But I think so that's a website that you can upload. You have a monarch 2 or 3.
I'm looking for Erkin to What I want to do is give him my, give him a CD.
And he said that instead of uploading it.
Yeah.
Uploading is pretty painful.
You just go to the website, you put in your name,
and that's the email address.
Well, then I went to go home, because I'm not connected here.
I have to say that there are, in fact, more impurities in the vault than there are in the
vault. I can do it over the weekend.
In fact, it's amazing. They actually synchronize.
I don't think you mentioned
the slide to your talk. I'm not sure how they did that. I assume it's not somewhere I just sit there and...
It would be interesting to give your voice on somebody else's slides.
That's true. That was a Woody Allen movie.
Anything is functional healing through impurities?
They're really good.
Yeah, mostly.
In fact, you might find the right...
Did you measure the function of the healing through impurities?
What's that?
Did you use
that? You find the right IT person.
We had not got a report on CPD.
They're very helpful.
Yes, that's the major result.
Ask, you know, ask around the...
We have done it, sorry.
Point three.
The delta E from no interstitials to having interstitials.
So the same for the radius?
I'm sorry. I misheard. No, I have not calculated.
Because they both are not wrong. In your paper, it's
I had not
calculated.
You did not roll that.
I've done vacancies, I haven't done interstitials.
Well, that doesn't include maybe some finite size. I mean, it seems like if it's so big, it doesn't really matter.
No, of course.
Uniform theory, and at some point,
I guess we should.
But it's very hard.
And also things like
We hadn't really planned on any activities this afternoon, and obviously we can have some discussion. And also for the weekend, so maybe if people want to do something this weekend, you should come this afternoon and talk to. I'll be around in the afternoon. We try to organize something, but
for the wineries, the designated driver.
Okay.
Everybody else has fun.
Okay. That's a suggestion.
Thank you for volunteering.
All the people that are drinking.
Okay. Talking about theories of superfluid fraction.
Well, again, I want to thank the organizers. This symbol F sub S is something that I think Tony Leggett introduced only relatively recently, and I think it's a nice notation, so I'll be using that. It just means rho S over the average density. I think it appears in three or four years ago. It's relatively recent. It's a nice notation.
You said in this
Okay, well, sorry about that. I just wanna do is say what I know about how to calculate superfluid field fractions. And it certainly, as far as I can tell, not an algorithm, but it's not in Chester, but certainly admitted, I think, that we didn't really know what kind of special case bosons and solid would be. But I'm going to expand upon what Tony Leggett did, his prescription, which is based on a variational estimate. It is intrinsically an upper bound, and in light of what we've learned this week about the possible effect of vacancies, it makes it clear to me that we have to also start to think about upper bounds that would include vacancies. And what Tony did, I think, pretty much corresponds to assuming something like what happens if you have a Bose sun condensation to a periodic state that is commensurate with the lattice. And we probably get a very good expression for the superfluid fraction in that case. But if you don't have a commensurate system, and in fact, it's very important that the system not be commensurate, the game changes and fairly significantly, but I haven't really been able to haven't had enough time to really work this out.
Excuse me? Whether the lattice, whether it's incommensurate or commensurate, I think his assumption is that rho S and rho of R track each other.
Let me get to that. Right? In some sense, you're right. If you scale up one, you scale up the other. But if you do it as a superfluid fraction, at least at zero temperature, that won't be a relevant issue. Now, the other way I know of calculating S, and this is a real calculation, not an upper bound, a real calculation. I have to do authorship. Is it separately or separately in Pollock? Do I have the right year? They give an exact relationship. Okay, it's based upon fluctuations, and I believe that really does include both thermal and quantum fluctuations in the definition. It's built on Gordon Bain's work, some left handers here. But, yes, we can get an exact number. David can get an exact number. But the problem is, it doesn't tell us enough about what's happening microscopically. I think that would be a fair statement.
Because you see these, it maps the quantum system to this classical system, and you get a rho S, you see exactly where the currents are going and so forth. You could, for example, David Galley had some pictures of interstitial vacancy pairs. I mean, presumably it's all in there, it may take some insight to figure out
what it is you're seeing, because you have this complex many-body system.
You can calculate all sorts of correlation functions, but you can't quite get the wave function. Is that right? That's the issue. That's really the hard part. All right. One thing that is very difficult. And what Tony does is he's at least trying to start from a wave function. And there, so is it restricted to zero temperature? And so maybe we can see quantum mechanically a little bit.
I mean, as somebody pointed out, if you start from a wave function point of view, anything is a superfluid. It's the question, this old question, taking limits, thermodynamic limits and the temperature limit in the right way. Because anything has a finite system has a gap.
No, the gap doesn't imply superfluidity. I see what you're saying, but I would not think
you're
right. Blocks.
So any finite system has no superfluid.
The state that has no
let's see how well I can do. I threw in some extra stuff because I just thought I would throw these things in. Okay, this is repetitive, but we don't really know what Andre Avalanche were talking about, and I don't quite know what the relationship is, but I just want to say it again, okay? So two distinct mechanisms of the super solid. They consider whatever vacancy condensation means, and if they talk about flow with density changes, well, quoting them again, mass transport by means of the motion of the zero point defect tons while the lattice sites remain essentially fixed. That seems to me that the vacancy is a lattice. Vacancies go one way, so mass has to go another way. So that seems to me what the other considerations are by Leighton considers, as far as I can tell, really considering commensurate particle condensation and flow with no change in the density or the lattice. It's what I call base flow. Maybe it's a bad terminology.
I don't think Tony addressed commensurability at all. He just had the wave function.
Yes, he did. It's implicit, I think, that it's a commensurate.
Why?
Well, because it shows the periodicity of the lattice.
Precisely.
Well, wait until the end, because then I will show you an example of a wave function which has one vacancy, and you see something different about that wave function. And so hold off that criticism until the end.
It's not criticism. It's reference. What Tony really said. Given a ground state wave function, I have no way to tell it's a commensurate, not commensurate period.
He's not commenting on that, but wait until you see in response to this week's stuff.
Both sides, yes.
All right, and then there are two classes of experiments that, the pressure driven one, it seems, where you expect density changes, but it doesn't seem to happen, all right? And somehow, I think there's a need to understand this better. I said, you can equilibrate the chemical potential by, including the effect of the stresses and strains on the chemical potential. Mike Ma made the comment that the system has a shape that, from the lattice points, that it doesn't want to change. That's perhaps an equivalent state. We don't know if those are right, but we're searching for reasons. Okay.
Did you put on the light? Oh,
yeah. Yeah, true. I think it's on.
The green light's on.
The green light's on. Okay. And then, of course, there's this, the NCRI, the location experiment.
Wait.
Yeah.
In dimensional quantum crystal, where every single side is identical to another one, where the number of atoms is not equal to the number of sides, would get released in the first crystal.
Precisely.
Do you agree?
Hold on, because I tried to make up what I think perhaps Tony might say if he knew about who he thought about that. Okay, so let me hold on. Okay, so again to repeat, I think it's going to be was really thinking about a single commensurate and periodic state. And now that approach gives an upper limit for the superfluid fraction at zero temperature. And this is what I'll call one-body phase. It doesn't include correlations of one particle goes through and it doesn't really know, it sees an average density, but it doesn't notice in particular what any other particle is doing as it does goes through its superflow. All right? And I want to say that you can do better. Okay? And Tony again, he doesn't can't get through with that with Sasha, so he's going to try to get through with Moses.
Okay. Yeah, because somebody said he does not really require
6 that makes sense. Okay. Anyway, so I took a density that's a sum of Gaussians, okay, using the best estimate for the Gaussian width, I got a value with this one by density that was about 2%, very close to experiment. I don't believe it, okay, but at the time, I believed it. I thought it was good. And the reason I don't believe it is because I then said, look, we now know much better what the density profile is in a solid. We've got 30 years have gone by. Monte Carlo calculations have developed. Okay, so I've taken Monte Carlo densities, and I didn't write this down here, but I take a density from the least I get a superfluid fraction on the order of 20%. Okay.
But I get 16%.
Okay. So
wait. How do we do this? Is it?
I'm going to tell you. Oh, that's okay. This is all about outline, okay? But I just want to comment that I've also done some calculations on the FCC, HTTP, blah, blah, blah. So what's new in many-body physics? Well, it's not really new. Other people have done this before, but you higher-order correlations in the phase function. As we normally say, the wave function, when you've got flow, has to be multiplied by e to the I phi. And everybody knows in the fluid, phi is just for each particle, I times some wave vector k divided with that particle fluid. And we assume that it's still not, I times some function that only depends upon one coordinate when we have a supersolid. Right? And that reflects then the atomic scale flow. Well, what I'm saying is we can probably do better, and we should be thinking about this sort of thing in a more complex way. That is, the phase function should be more complex. And I just want to say here now, yes, everybody knows phase flow implies quantum vortex lines and rings. No one is talking about doing vortex rings experiments. There's no one here with the expertise, okay? But somewhere out in the world, there are people who have some expertise, and I think it would be very useful if they were to start thinking about trying to do that sort of thing. So addendum, this is what comes from thinking about things this week and hearing about some of the experimental results. How do we include the effective vacancies to making a good estimate of the superfluid fraction, and what could the wave function possibly look like if we've got vacancies? Okay, there's going to be 3 playing an essential role in affecting the wave function. And I have not addressed the latter. Okay, I'm sorry for using this phrase phase flow, but I just think in such terms. Let's say we've got a one-body system. Everybody knows the wave function.
Can we close the
square root times e?
Turn off the light in the front.
I'm sorry.
Turn off the lights up front.
Turn off the light here. Okay. Here, hold on. I guess I'm
middle one.
It's okay.
I think it's one there. It's
over here to the right.
Yeah, there is one there.
So let me do. Oh.
That help a little bit?
No, it's awful.
It is awful. There's a system of, there's some switches over there.
Oh.
Go ahead.
There you go. That helps.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, anyway, everybody knows the results up here. Okay. Yay. Okay. Wait. I need another font.
It's standing up at the
end of the chalkboard. Oh, right.
The end of the chalkboard. Yeah.
This will not count your time. So relax.
Okay. That's all right. I really don't have that much technical stuff to say. So hopefully I won't go over. Okay, so look, we know the Schrodinger equation gives us all of this stuff, okay? I'm writing Vs is h bar over m times the phase rate. Tell Tony to stop calling you. Okay, and We've got, so for talking about new ecosystems, I think of this as phase flow, okay? And the example I may have commented about earlier is, like, if you have an electron in a hydrogen atom that's in a two-piece state with L equal one, okay? Let's forget about the proton. You get a non-zero flux, okay, J, and you need that to get an angular momentum. So if the proton is there, you know this thing is going around like that. There's no net momentum, dRho dt is zero, div j is zero, you've got a dead constant density, you really have local particle flow. This is a simple example of phase flow at constant density. And Tony's idea is that you just have a big system, all right? And the big system keeps a constant density, you develop a phase, and
Right now, Ben.